Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 25, verses 6 through 7, and that will be on Pew Bible page 528. Hear the word of our Lord. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Brothers and sisters, our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14, and we'll begin at verse 1 and then skip to verses 7 through 14. And that'll be on Pew Bible page 844. Children of God, hear God's word. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace you will start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said that to them also, to the one who had invited him. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the good news. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, your word guides us and leads us. It keeps us and cares for us. Lord, we ask that your word would be with us this day, that it would guide us to be your people in this earth. Guide us and lead us every step along the way, so that we might be your people in a hurting and broken world. In your name we pray. Amen. In our scripture today, it might seem like Jesus has departed from Savior of the world to Miss Manners in a certain way. It's a little strange that he goes and sits in the house of a Pharisee leader, especially after last Sunday we had a leader of a synagogue going at and attacking him. But again, it speaks here that Jesus doesn't have enemies. He has only friends that he has yet to make, even if they're trying to have him killed or attack him. Now, it might seem odd that Jesus gives such a nuanced lesson in how to sit and where to sit and why it all matters. And it's hard to understand because we don't have the idea of honor and shame that existed in the Bible. We don't understand the esteem that is built up in that way. We don't clearly wrap our brains around the idea that shame, if it happens, destroys. And we can understand at a dinner, you know, everybody takes their seat, everybody has an assigned seat. We don't understand sitting down based on who has the highest status in the room and who gets what seat in the room. Now, it's not even close to what we do with weddings or banquets. Weddings and banquets in a modern day, at the head table, you have the bride and groom and the bridal party. Maybe you have spouses and significant others of the bridal party there too. And throughout the room, you have the balancing act of who sits where and who is sitting next to who. And your concern is who can you put at the same table as your squirrely uncle who won't later give you a hard time for the rest of your life about that? Or can you place Uncle Kevin at the same table as Aunt June because they haven't spoken in 20 years? You know, these are modern day equivalencies of how you do a seating chart. But here, it's all about honor. Except it's about the honor that the host has for the guests. So situationally speaking, we are asked in a room of people to estimate where the host would place them in terms of honor, in terms of greatness. It's you have to understand where your greatness stands in the matter, but also have to try and hit the dart right on the right spot. Otherwise, it all comes crashing down. And you will be forever known as the guy who thinks too much of himself at the next dinner. And everybody will make you a joke. In a culture focused on honor and shame, that's not just embarrassing. When we look at the wedding at Cana, we see some of that creep in, because it's not about the party having to end early because they ran out of wine. It's about a bride and groom being shamed for the rest of their married lives because they ran out of wine and the celebration had to end. It followed you, honor and shame, like a credit score does now. Nipping at your heels, every little which way sticking to you. And when we think about this moment where Jesus gives advice, he is giving advice for how people are to navigate that culture, that existence, but also create a new understanding of what is and what is to be. So why does this matter? Why does Jesus tell them to do this? Because at the heart of this matter is a quid pro quo. You invite people to your banquet so that you can get an invitation to theirs. You invite the best and the brightest. Why? So you can go to the best and the brightest. It's that sort of mentality. It's all about what you can get and what you can give and how little you can put in for how much you can get back. It's all about trying to get more in. It's all about making yourself more than you are, building yourself up. But Jesus gives us an idea of what's more at stake in all of this. When he says in verse 11, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exhausted." This isn't about dinner anymore, is it? This isn't about who sits where. It's about who stands where. Where we stand in terms of what we are. If we exalt ourselves all the time, we tend to forget the greatest lesson in the world, that who we are and what we are is a gift from God. When we think ourselves so grand and great, we forget that we are what we are because God has made us and given us the gifts we have. It's not about how great we are or how grand. It's about how great God has been, how great God is. When we exalt ourselves, when we exalt others, we forget that at the root of everything is and should be exaltation to God. When we are humble, we remember that at the root of what we are and who we are is God. God who is with us and blesses us. It's hard in a world like we have now. When we see everyone building others up to great heights, to kings and queens almost. And if we forget that who we are is who we are blessed to be. It's hard to be humble. It's hard to remember that what we are is a gift from God. But it's even harder to shift the narrative even further. Because Jesus believes the old proverb that if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. If you're in for a sheep, you might as well be for the full sheep and not just the lamb. Because he's not going to stop at just challenging the room to be humble. He's going to tear down the honor-shame quotient. He's going to break it down to its very roots. Because that whole honor-shame contingent is building yourself up, building yourself bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and forgetting whose we are and how we are. And he challenges the room, the host, and says, when you invite someone, you're doing it because Ed sets a really nice table. And he's well known for his table. And you invite Ed so you can get an invite back. You invite others so that they can see how great you are and build you up. But instead, I want you to start thinking about those who can't return those favors. Those who can't help you, who can't build you up. Building up glory and favors for anyone but God is floating down the wrong river for Jesus. In his statement of letting others honor you, let others honor and give honor to you for what you do, Jesus shatters the honor shame quotient because it's all about how small you can be, how humble you can be. And through that humility, you're not going into the quid pro quo of dinner invitations. You're not inviting other people so that they can invite you back. You are going to start inviting those who cannot invite you back. You're going to invite the lame, the broken, the hurting, the poor, those who cannot elevate you. Those who can't invite you back. It's not about inviting Bob or Jake over for a party. Jesus affirms that the entire system's broken. The entire system is about building up who you are in every little which way you can. Invite the lame, the poor, the crippled and the blind, the widows, the orphans, those who are the least in society, those who cannot repay you, those who cannot help themselves. Don't build yourself up in the here and the now, but trust and wait for the reward to come. It's a shift in reality. In many ways, it's a shift in motivation It's a shift in payoff and payout. Because when you look at this, the immediate answer is, if you invite Bob, you're going to get that invite in the next probably few months or years from Bob for dinner. But if you invite the poor, your reward will never come until you stand before God in glory. It's about working for the unseen that you can trust and hope for. It's about waiting and hoping. And that's hard. That's a hard piece to rebuild. It's hard to tell a kid, okay, I'm going to give you your allowance. If you save it in the bank, eventually you can get something really nice. Eventually, maybe when you're 16, you can buy a car if you keep on saving. But what does every kid do when they get their allowance? They spend it as quick as they can. I want to go down to Stewart's. I want ice cream. I want candy. I want to go get a Lego. It's the immediate payout that they want. It's the immediate payout we want. And that's hard to reshape and rework in this world, is that hope for things to come, that hope for what will be. It's hard to work for God's kingdom because we are waiting for it. It's hard to honor God and not ourselves. Because our world teaches us that we need to build ourselves up. We need to build up our things. We need to accumulate our things. But Jesus here checks our motivation, checks the why which we engage in, the why we do what we do. Now, in serving others, in serving the least of these, are there a few callous people out there that will automatically challenge us on our motivations? Yeah. Oh, I know why you're doing what you're doing. Building yourself up through helping the poor. It's pretty smart. It's pretty smart. People are always going to assume the worst in our motivations. But only we can know what is truly our motivation. We can't change how others see what we're doing. We can't see how others challenge or want to challenge humility. We can't. But we can know that we are giving honor and glory to God through our humility, through our serving the least of these. We can know. We don't need to worry about what others say. That's part of the piece of breaking down that honor-shame contingent. We're not worried about the honor people heap on us, the shame they heap on us. Because the honor and shame that matter is the honor that we receive from God, that honor we receive in serving God. God knows what is within us. God knows what our motivations and our hearts tell. It's hard to have faith and hope in that. But if you sit for a moment, remember the peace and comfort that comes with it. May we go forth, brothers and sisters, humbly to serve this world, those in our world that are hurting. May we go forth and serve God's kingdom on this earth. Amen.